Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwasWrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. Javier Leyva is a podcast host and Emmy Award-winning television producer. His show, Pretend Podcast, began airing in 2017 and highlights cases of fraud executed by perpetrators from cult leaders to con artists to undercover FBI agents. However, it was in June 2024 that Pretend's 18th season became much more personal for him. At first, accusations against Arkansas-based LaDonna Humphrey barely grabbed his attention. But the more accusations he received, the more Javier realized he had to uncover the truth about LaDonna, a seasoned true crime podcaster and author herself. And almost immediately after Javier reached out to her for comment, he would begin to experience alleged harassment too, joining the growing list of LaDonna's accusers. The Broken Cycle Media team is incredibly grateful Javier was willing to share the behind the scenes of this formative season and all that came next for him as his own role shifted from host to victim.
My name is Javier Leyva. I am the host of the Pretend podcast, but I almost feel like that's a persona that I've accidentally created because the guy that's on that podcast is not the same as the guy that lives everyday life. I think my friends and family would say that I'm outgoing, funny, and sometimes scattered. The guy on the radio, though, is super put together. When I am telling a story on my podcast, it's super clear. And I love that format of news and storytelling and documentaries because it's a platform where you can really organize your thoughts and tell a story in a really compelling way that you probably couldn't in real conversation. But then when I do it in podcast form, that's when it really sings. I started my career in news and telling stories in documentaries. I worked at a local PBS station. I've won 4 Mid-South Regional Emmys for the work I've done in my video production life. I started shooting a lot of commercials, videos. After a while, I got out of news and the documentary business, and then I missed telling stories. It was right around that time that podcasts were really exploding. And I thought, well, why don't I just start a podcast? Because it's like, I am running my own newsroom, and I could tell these great stories that have been rattling off in my head. It was around that time that my cousin was about to go to federal prison. Everyone knew that he was the black sheep of the family, but no one knew exactly what he did. So I said, do you mind if I record you telling me about your life and how you ended up here? He told me everything from the time that he was breaking into cars, breaking into houses, staging car accidents for insurance fraud, all the way to where he opened up a medical clinic, hired a real doctor to write opioid prescriptions. That's how he got busted, and that's why he was going to federal prison. And my jaw was on the ground because I just couldn't believe it. Everybody knew that he was in trouble somehow, but nobody knew exactly what it was. And that was the moment that I realized this podcast that I'm doing about people pretending to be someone else, it's about con artists. It's about deception. I had no fascination with con artists before this, but that was such an enlightening moment. And from then on, I was just scrambling. How many con artist stories can I tell? But the underlining thing that gets our attention is not the severity of the crime, but the psychology of the crime. We're all wondering, why would somebody do this? Or how can somebody do this? Because quote unquote, normal people wouldn't do this. And we don't understand. And I think that that's where the fascination with the genre comes from. I've been doing Pretend for almost 8 years now. And each season, I try to bring something new, something fresh. You don't know what you're going to get next. But that's what keeps me going. I figured out that that's like my superpower, telling stories through audio. Now the challenge is sifting through the stories. And a lot of the stories that land on my desk are people with an axe to grind. People want to share their story because maybe they want to weaponize my show to get revenge on somebody else. When season 18 came around, there was this one story about this local woman out of Arkansas. I didn't know that she was a true crime personality at the time. I just knew that she was involved in a lawsuit with her former employer, and there was something about insurance fraud. It was interesting, but I almost passed on this story. But the more people that reached out to me about this woman, I realized that this is more than a feud between this woman and her boss. This is the story of decades of documented harassment against people who have nothing in common except for one woman, LaDonna Humphrey. All these victims started reaching out to me. At first, it was really, really hard to boil down the story. What is this about? At the end of the day, this is a story about this true crime personality. Her name is LaDonna Humphrey. She's a true crime author, true crime speaker. She has multiple true crime podcasts. She runs a true crime festival in Arkansas. Outwardly, she has this pristine image, a woman who's on a mission to help solve missing persons cases, strangulation cases, very admirable work covering the case of Melissa Witt, a woman who was found dead in the Ozarks National Forest. She's covered the story. She's written books about it. She's written a documentary about it. Meanwhile, there's this woman out in Oregon. She's young. She needed some money. And she took this gig posing as a corpse, basically, for a death fetish video. For the most part, she forgot about it. But she was telling her sister about it years later. She's like, when I was younger, I did this death fetish video and I was laying naked on this morgue slab. But it was really strange because the director had me wear this Mickey Mouse watch. And they just thought that was so weird. So they started researching and Googling Mickey Mouse watch, dead girl. And all of a sudden, Melissa Witt pops up because Melissa Witt was found without her Mickey Mouse watch. So this girl reaches out to LaDonna and says, hey, I wonder if this video was somehow connected to the crime. And LaDonna's like, oh, I bet it was. I bet whoever shot that video was either the killer or whoever commissioned that video was the killer. So they team up and eventually they become co-hosts of this podcast where they go after the death fetish community. They wrote a book together. They traveled, spoke at CrimeCon London. But the moment that LaDonna and Alicia, the girl from Oregon, team up, Alicia starts getting these threatening messages from this person called Death Fetish Master. Emails, text messages, threatening her, vulgar stuff. And for 2 years, she's getting these messages. She's being terrorized. She thinks that whoever killed Missy Witt, whoever shot that video, is coming after her. Alicia would tell me that they would share hotel rooms and they were both working on their laptops, and she's getting emails from Death Fetish Master while LaDonna's sitting across the room. One day, Alicia and LaDonna were sharing screenshots, and Alicia noticed that on LaDonna's screenshots, she was still logged in under Death Fetish Master, meaning that the only logical conclusion is that LaDonna was posing as Death Fetish Master to torment her co-host. She's tormenting her in front of her just to see her reaction. And when confronted about this, instead of owning up to it, LaDonna just comes up with every excuse in the book. But the moment that I heard Alicia's story, when Alicia was describing to me that she was manipulated by her co-host, by her co-author, that's what really caught my attention. Another MO with her is that she befriends law enforcement and they give her extraordinary access. She had access to all kinds of case files from Melissa Witt's case that the public shouldn't have. When an investigation is an open case, typically law enforcement does not share case files with the media or the public because they are still investigating the case. And any information that leaks out and contaminates witnesses maybe could tip off the offender, or it could just jeopardize the case in court. But they gave her all kinds of documentations about the case. They even gave her the footage of Melissa Witt's body being discovered in the woods. Guess what LaDonna did with that footage? She uploaded it to YouTube. That's when I knew that this was a story, and I had no idea how deep it would go and how many people would be affected. That's when it clicked for me that this is what the story is about. It's a woman who's trying to make a career, but behind the scenes, she's being accused of manipulating evidence, creating the stories that she's reporting on. In true crime, as a podcaster, as a reporter, you're just reporting what happened. But what if you could create what happened and report on it? It's like you have the whole supply chain of true crime.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Nobody's coming at things objectively, right? And even when they think they're being objective, they are being biased. Even victims' families, they see a case from a certain point of view. When it came to the LaDonna case, all these victims started reaching out to me. I took note of it, but the first person I wanted to talk to was LaDonna herself. She accepted my invitation. She came on my podcast. I had multiple pages worth of questions for her. And I was hoping that she would be like, no, this accusation is not true because of X, Y, and Z. And this one's not true either because this. There should be a logical explanation for some of these accusations. But instead, what I found out was that she didn't have a good explanation for these accusations other than she would try to deflect and say, well, this person who's making this accusation of me has this in their past. So she tried to discredit them to distract me from the allegations that were being made against her. Or she would give me evidence that supports her argument, except she ignores the other stuff that doesn't support her argument. She sends voice memos And in my podcast, you could hear her trying to explain away every reason why she could possibly be logged in under Death Fetish Master. Could it be my husband? Is my husband logged in under Death Fetish Master? Was I hacked? And all these excuses, but never owns up to it. So when I confront LaDonna, she tells me all these reasons why it's not her. Even when confronted by Alicia, she's not owning up to it. Not only does she not own up to it, she doubles down and reaches out to the Death Fetish forum and says, hey, can you take down this account? And she says that the forum owner said, yeah, sure, I'll take it down. Well, why would he take down a username that wasn't hers to begin with? She always tries to create doubt and gaslight you to believe that she's the hero in the story, when all signs point to that she's the mastermind behind all the harassment. Right after that call, she sent me an email point by point with her explanation for each of the accusations. She almost flooded me with information to distract me. She was being sued by her former employer. They wanted to have a speedy discovery because they wanted to see what was in her phone. And very conveniently, the night before the discovery, her car was broken into, her purse was in her car, and somebody stole her cell phone. Except what she didn't tell me was that this thief miraculously left the SIM card behind. She failed to disclose that, but she sent me a police report stating that there was nothing wrong with her phone records, that the police looked into it. But what she didn't tell me was that in court, a phone expert was actually able to show with the records that the SIM card changed after the phone was supposedly stolen. This was all evidence-based reporting. These victims took lots of screenshots. They kept very meticulous records. And we were able to paint a timeline that it's really hard for LaDonna to explain her way out of it. We have a spreadsheet with phone numbers because all these victims were getting harassed by these voice over IP numbers, basically internet phone numbers that are untraceable. But we were able to compare phone numbers from different victims that matched, that were sending messages around the same time. These people have nothing in common. The only person they have in common with is LaDonna Humphrey.
At what point does it become more personal for you?
Immediately. I'm just this third party, independent journalist. I'm not supposed to be part of the story. That's not my approach. But after I interviewed LaDonna and she realized what I was doing and what I was reporting on, the harassment started. Almost immediately, I started getting text messages. Eventually, you will move on. I will win. I always do. Your little podcast hasn't done a thing to stop me. And this is just from an anonymous phone number. My flame will continue to grow brighter as yours was snuffed out. What, you're running out of material? Having a hard time grifting off my name anymore? Put your money where your mouth is. Stupid little taunting emails. But that escalated rather quickly into other forms of harassment. They were reaching out to my employers, telling them that I've committed crimes. Then they were writing articles about me and some blog that they have out in Fort Smith, Arkansas, saying all kinds of lies about me. I used to take screenshots of these things, but they happen so frequently that I don't even pay attention to them anymore. LaDonna doesn't ever want to be the one fronting the harassment. She wants other people to carry the harassment for her, or she wants to do it anonymously so that it doesn't come from her. I've had threats of them coming to my house to knock on my door, drag me out, and beat me up. I get messages that my password's changing. Probably the most spectacular one was when she tried to take down my show. Apple Podcasts gave me 5 business days to basically negotiate with this woman to drop her claim. I hired an intellectual property attorney. We saved my feed from getting shut down. She's just so clever with her attacks. That's what's scary, because a lot of these people who are making these accusations against her, they don't experience harassment right away. It could be 10 years later that they'll start getting harassment. The scary part is that you don't know when she's going to strike next. We just had a quiet period over the winter. She was laying low and there was not a lot of harassment. But as of a couple of weeks ago, it started back up again. I was producing the show as I was learning about it, because I thought this was just going to be like a 3 to 4 episode thing. It took a life of its own. The season, Who's Afraid of LaDonna Humphrey, is 16 parts. And actually, it's more than that because I continue the story later on. This is a story about all these other victims. But I couldn't ignore the harassment that I was facing. And so in between part 13 and part 14, I did an episode called A Swing and a Miss. That episode just highlights the harassment that I faced. And I called it that, A Swing and a Miss, because I wanted people to know about the harassment, but it's not going to slow me down. I'm going to continue reporting on this. You could send me all the cease and desist letters you want. You could do all the legal threats. You could try to take my show down. That is just going to fuel me to continue investigating. Because if you're going to fight that hard, that means you really are trying to hide something. I think the thing that got me through this season was there was a certain point in the story where the narrative changed. It started off as this woman who was trying to build this true crime career by manipulating the story, by manipulating the evidence. And then it turned into a story about what LaDonna does for a living. This whole podcasting is just a side gig for her. She actually has a job running this nonprofit. It's a sober living facility in Northwest Arkansas, where these women are court ordered to live in these facilities, these two houses that she runs. And when I realized the conditions that these women were living in and the lack of freedom, and reading the text messages and how manipulative she was to these women, then the women that were living in that shelter were the ones that were fueling me and keeping me going, because now I felt this urgency. At first, it was like this train wreck of LaDonna Humphrey, and then it became really important for me to tell these women's story and to get inspectors to go check out those facilities, to contact the courts and make sure that they realize where they're sending these women to. She was threatening these women with jail. She was running that place like a dictator. If you didn't follow her rules, she would kick you out. If you get kicked out, guess where you're going? You're going back to jail because you're court ordered to be there. The women were sleeping in these twin mattresses, 4 women to a bedroom. One of the women had 3 kids sleeping in her twin mattress, cribs blocking the exits. We reported that to the Arkansas State Attorney General. We reported it to the Secretary of State's office. We reported it to several government agencies that during COVID, she's accused of taking money that was meant for the women in the facility to live off of, and she was allegedly pocketing that money. We reported it all over the place. Not that I have a vendetta against LaDonna Humphrey, but as a journalist, I just want to shed light on this, because she's figured out a way to get away with this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's not like LaDonna Humphrey has gone her whole life without having any repercussions. She has been sued for harassment and lost a $1.5 million settlement against her. And she was jailed in contempt of court for destroying evidence, lying. And now she's trying to appeal that judgment, and she could lose. I guess the lesson here is that you can't do this for so long and not face consequences. But then on the flip side, there are so many people who have made accusations against her who have never had justice for the harassment that she's allegedly put them through. what she's being accused of is harassment that's using technology that requires tech-savvy investigators that really probably go outside the expertise of a lot of local police departments.
Have you gone to law enforcement to report the harassment you've faced?
Yeah.
What was that reporting process for you like?
It was a joke. I went back and got the police report after I made the police report for the harassment. They didn't even write in a description in it. I don't think that law enforcement generally takes this stuff seriously. Victims of stalkers, they're in such a bad position. They're usually very complicated stories. My advice to any victim of stalking or harassment is to document everything. Create a timeline. Screenshot things. Because these things happen and it's sometimes hard to remember the details. So it's really good to have a timeline so that when you do find that law enforcement officer or investigator that takes you seriously, you could have the evidence to support you. I think the thing that got me through this is I started this thing as an objective journalist, not having a dog in the fight. And there was a private Facebook group with the accusers. These are people that don't know each other. Some of them have never even met in person. I became embedded with that group and we had this shared trauma that we could relate. We had this one person who had really put a target on our back. I had never sensed that before where I became one of the victims I was reporting on, which is kind of weird to say because I don't like to think about myself that way, but I really connected very strongly. We still contact each other almost on a daily basis. If you take any one of these stories in isolation, these people would tell you, nobody believed me. I thought I was going crazy, but something in their gut told them, I got to document this. I have to hold this person accountable. But nobody did. These things went on for decades without the dots being connected. It wasn't until recently that there was this private Facebook group where these victims got together and started sharing their stories. There was something about this story that really resonated with people. And I think that it's because everybody has a LaDonna in their lives. Some people have gotten it worse. Some people have maybe been raised by a parent who was manipulative, but we all could somehow relate to that. Also, it was like watching a train wreck because as I was producing episodes, she was reacting to it. And even more people would find out about it. There's a whole subreddit with thousands of people who were engaging with the episode unlike anything I've ever reported on. When you start connecting your story with other people's stories, you feel validation. Just because you're experiencing something and people don't believe you, if you're experiencing it, somebody else might be experiencing it too. And you might not know it yet, but hopefully you could connect those dots. And when you connect those dots, hopefully justice will be brought. Victim, nobody likes that word. But it's not like you're done being a victim. Even the other day, my credit card was used to buy tickets in Chicago somewhere for some concert. Granted, that could have been anything. That happens to everyone. But guess what the first thought I had? My family's like, oh, it's LaDonna. Like now we just assign every random bad thing because you don't know. That's just par for the course. I got laid off from my job not too long ago. And it was probably one of those run-of-the-mill corporate layoffs, I'm sure. But in the back of my head, I'm like, does she have something to do with this? Because she did contact my employers at one point. You just never know. It's right around the corner. And it doesn't end. Even though I've moved on from the story, they're still intimidating the accusers and the alleged victims. She's still out there selling the story that she's a victim's advocate. She's an expert in the Melissa Witt case, even though she has distorted that case to the point where it's hard to tell what's real and what's not anymore.
What is the importance of ethical media, especially in the true crime space? Do you have any tips or tricks to also be an ethical listener?
At the end of the day, people listen to podcasts because they want to be entertained, but there's much more than that. We're doing a service to victims, we're doing a service to anybody listening because they're lending us 30, 60 minutes of their time every episode. It's an incredibly powerful medium, and it could be used as a weapon or it could be used to solve cases. When I started this podcast, I had no intentions of ever going after another podcaster or author. I didn't even think that's what I would do, but I have actually devoted many episodes to pretty much exposing these bad actors in the true crime space, because it's bad enough that you're a victim of a violent crime, and then someone comes around the corner, takes your life's tragedy, and tries to use that to either get famous or rich. It's really hard to tell who's doing it with good intentions and who's not. I even devoted an episode or two to Melissa Witt because I wanted to tell the real story. I felt like she deserves that. Her life was taken so early. She was so young, and people will remember her as this victim of a death fetish murderer who had this fascination with Mickey Mouse watches, which none of that was true. I think that as a true crime listener, I hope that you're able to tell the difference between quality journalism, when you hear first-person reporting, when you hear a collective of voices, then you know you're hearing quality journalism. We only scratch the surface of what LaDonna is accused of. It's hard to have an elevator pitch about the story because there are so many tentacles, so many different avenues that you could go down. And this was just the beginning. You can find Pretend wherever you get podcasts. Just type in Pretend on whatever platform you're listening to right now, and it's the first one that pops up. On social media, I'm Pretend Pod. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Pretend Pod. We have a Facebook group. People write me messages all the time. I read every single one of them. I try to get back to all of them. One of the things that does keep me going, I guess, are my listeners, because I feel like we are part of this community now. It's more than just a podcast.
I really commend you for sharing your story.
Honestly, part of me wishes I'd never did this, because it would be so much easier if I never reported on it. I could have just ignored it. I don't want this harassment looming over me. I don't want this for my family. I don't want it for anybody, really. But at the same time, I can't just take my foot off the gas when it becomes a little uncomfortable. That was the whole point of this podcast, is to not only expose the psychology behind these people, but to let other people know people like this exist and what to look out for.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
Alan told him he wanted $90,000 or they would never see me again. The most difficult thing that they had to do was going to the police because they knew they were risking losing me. But they knew that the most important thing was for me to get away from him.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.